The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming, when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to be his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For my money, our gospel text today has some of the most ominous words in all of Scripture. Although, I don't think they jump out at you unless you're listening closely. They can stream right past in the sweep of the story. Jesus is passing by, which is another interesting bit of Scripture that we don't really have time today to get into. In passing, I'd encourage you to look up passing by or passed by in Scripture. Look up how it's used. Great mysteries are revealed when God passes by. But Jesus is passing by, and he sees a man blind since birth. And Jesus' disciples have a question. Their question is based upon the assumption of most times and places, just not our time and place. Most places assume that bad fortune is attached to bad behavior. Likewise, that good fortune is attached to good behavior. And that the moral calculus of these has to balance. Whether you call it karma or getting what you deserve, it's our natural thinking. And even looking at things like a man born blind, or the evil rewarded, doesn't seem to break our natural attachment to this thinking. We'd rather point at something like reincarnation or generational debt to balance the karma than admit creation doesn't work on those moral standards. So, Jesus' disciples ask their question, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, our society largely rejects karma, or what comes around goes around, but I think that's simply because our Christian hangover. It takes the things that it likes from Christianity, like no karma, while rejecting its mysteries, the harder things that such a rejection is based upon. Jesus does correct the disciples' misunderstanding. It was not that this man sinned or his parents. It's not about karma or moral calculus. It's not about our sense of fairness. When God passes by, things aren't necessarily fair. And this is the great mystery. It wasn't him or his parents who sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. This adult man, blind for 20, 30 years, maybe more, this man was blinded by God for those years for this moment. When God passes by, things aren't always fair. He's God. He does what he wants. It's his choice. You don't have to worry about the karma. You don't have to worry about it coming back as an ant for the next life. Neither do you have to worry about what you did to level up to the next one. Neither of those things is within your ability. This is the mystery of election. It's also the mystery of grace. Grace is always at the will of the one who grants it. We might not want karma, but most people certainly don't want grace and the absolute loss of control that it means. The radical dependence upon the work of God. Although Jesus does give us an invitation to be part of that work of God. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Even the Son is bound to the will of God. He was sent, and he must do the works he was sent to do. Those works culminate right there on that cross. That cross for us, and that cross is the fountain of God's grace given to us. And right now, in this world under the cross, is the time of grace. Right now, while Christ is in the world, which he is through this body of Christ, which he is through the sacraments, is when we have the light to work. A day of clouds and deep darkness, a day of judgment comes. A day when the justice of God is revealed for all. A day when the Lazaruses receive recompense and the rich their reward. But right now, while Jesus is in the world, is the day of grace. And we are invited to be a part of that work of grace. We must work the works of him who sent us. And I think the rest of the story that John tells is just as much of a miracle story. It's the story of grace working in our hearts. Although that grace works in two ways. Let's contrast the path of the man born blind with that of the Pharisees. Within the Pharisees even, there's a division. They have all seen Jesus passing by, or the effects of Jesus passing by. The man born blind sees. But some of them are offended at what God has done, about how he has chosen to do it. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. God doesn't follow our rules. He's not fair, so this one can't be from God, because God wouldn't do that. While another group simply asks, "Do you have eyes to see? How can a sinner do such things?" The grace of God always brings about such a division. When the cross enters our lives, we are set on one of two paths. There's the path that accepts the work of God in our life and what he is doing, or the path that rejects it. Those Pharisees ask the man born blind an important question. And it's the question that keeps coming up. What do you say about it, since he opened your eyes? And the man answers them, "He is a prophet." I think this is often the first step on that path of grace. Our eyes have been opened, but our confession is simply that Jesus is a prophet. He's the one who brought about our seeing, but we are not willing to admit the miracle that we see. Jesus as just the prophet. The grace doesn't come from him. It just is, and he's led us to it. And there are lots of ways that we can relegate Jesus to just a prophet. And even doing so feels kind of like we're honoring him. But ultimately, he's a prophet isn't true enough. Because lots of people can say Jesus is a prophet. Islam says he's a prophet. The Latter-day Saints have him as a prophet. Many people have tried to reduce Jesus to to just such a great teacher. Jesus is a prophet. But the confession of Jesus as a prophet is an untenable place for the soul, because it puts all of the work back on us. Have you followed the right prophet? How do you know? The Pharisees pull the man born blind back a second time. And this time we see a solidification of beliefs. The Pharisees are sure that Jesus is a sinner. The man is just as certain that he can't be, because now he sees. They know that God spoke through Moses. The man just keeps on insisting on what Jesus has done for him, and how what Jesus has done for us refutes everything that they are saying. As if we could say, at that cross, that guy obviously is a sinner, when the guy at the foot of it is saying, surely this one was innocent. When the one who put him on there says, this is an innocent man. The Pharisees know that this is not how God acts. But this brings forth the second confession from the man born blind. If Jesus were not from God, he could do nothing more than just a prophet from God. How do we know? We know from what Christ has done for us, that cross. How do we know? Because Christ comes from God. This is a step into that world. Those who have rejected the grace of God cannot accept it. They will cast you out. But it's also a necessary step of grace to know that God does work in this world, and that God does work on us. But even there, the man's confession is not perfected. Jesus hears that the man has been cast out, and Jesus comes to him, or finds him again, and asks him a question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? That Son of Man is Jesus' unique term for the Messiah, for the Christ. And the man, after Jesus has revealed himself to him, confesses Jesus as the Son of Man. In walking that path of grace, we come to know our Savior more completely. We might have been afraid of the God who would make a man born blind just for his work. But in coming to know Jesus, we know that it's for the love of all of his creation. And more importantly, we believe it. The grace of God has come to us by the cross, by the Lamb who would walk that way willingly. And Christ has opened our eyes to his work. And he's invited us to be a part of it in this age of grace. The same event was seen by both the man born blind and the Pharisees. Even more so, the same event, that cross, would be seen by all the world. The Son of Man is lifted up on the cross and raised on the third day. Everyone has had their eyes opened to the work of God in this world. It's proclaimed daily how God has offered his grace to mankind freely. Yet there are two paths. The formerly blind who see the Son of Man in his full glory today, and those who claim to see clearly today, who are blind to the Son of Man. On that last day, everyone will see the glory. And on that day, that completes what Jesus says, "For judgment I came into this world." But today is the day of grace. Today is when that judgment is worked out before it's pronounced. Today is a day to let the grace of that cross guide you in all your ways. Amen.